A chief risk officer, or CRO, might be the answer to how your agency manages risk. But whether or not your agency adds another to the growing list of see this or see that officers, the White House expects you to consider anything that might impede your mission success. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details on why measuring and mitigating risk might be a bigger priority in the coming year. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so the White House is jumping back into risk management?
Well, I don't say they're jumping back in. I just think they're recognizing a trend that's been happening over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, that risk management is playing such a bigger role across all of government. And I think two of the big factors came out clear just earlier this week. The one big factor is budget uncertainty. Now, remember now, we're not talking about budget cuts or budget reductions or even sequestration, just uncertainty where the budget's heading. Because of two big factors, right? Continuing resolutions is one. When will the next one come? What will it look like? And obviously reductions that everyone expects, continued reductions. I think those create huge risks. The other piece of the risk management piece is high-profile failures that continue to plague government. We know all about healthcare.gov. We've talked about the DOD ERP systems, the FBI's virtual case file system. All these are failed, huge, high-profile IT systems. And I think what the Office of Management Budget is doing is they're recognizing that there's not just a need to look at risk from a financial perspective, but actually from the entire agency portfolio. David Mader is the controller at OMB.
We have begun talking about how do we think about risk more broadly than just financial risk. And I think, you know, when you look at A11 and you look at A123, you know, those were all born out of the CFO Act, right? So everybody's sort of narrowly focused on, well, it's about financial risk. It's about internal controls. And what we're doing now is sort of stepping back and thinking, isn't there really a way to take the lessons learned and what we've accomplished in A11 and A123 and broaden that perspective across an entire organization, particularly around mission programs, and say, you know, are some of the controls that we've put in place and that discipline and that adherence to that discipline the kinds of things that you need in the VA or you need in the IRS or you need in CMS or HHS?
Now, you heard Mader say A123 and A11. He's, of course, is referring to the circulars A123 and circular A11 that really looks at financial management and bringing in internal controls as part of their risk management strategy. Now, to that end, Mader says OMB believes there needs to be an enterprise risk protocol across all of government.
We're not yet at a point saying, yes, and you need to have a risk officer. Because I don't think that one size fits all, and we do know that organizations across town have already established programs. And I don't know whether you say, I want the risk program to reside in the CFO community. I could argue maybe not. But I'm also reluctant at this point to say, oh, yes, and we need somebody designated as a risk management officer. Maybe there's a construct that says we need at a department level a risk committee. When you think about some of the larger departments, DHS, HHS, that have a broad portfolio of very different kinds of bureaus and agencies, do you want to have a risk person in every one of those bureaus? Maybe, maybe not. If I were the deputy secretary of HHS, I think I would probably be looking for some kind of risk board that on a very periodic basis could be doing that constant assessment of the entire organization.
Mader says OMB is talking to agencies and private sector organizations who have established risk management practices and organizations to get a better understanding. He says OMB then will issue some sort of guidance, memo, some sort of document in the second quarter of fiscal year 2015.
For sure, I think we have to have sort of core structure and some core attributes that define this risk program, things that people do need to do. Personally, I'm one for being sort of flexible with the department, because I don't think when you look at the breadth of the agencies that one size fits all. I think if you set the expectation that you will manage risk and allow each of the agencies to decide how best to construct that, because I think it's going to vary across time.
Now, Mader says he doesn't think legislation is required to get agencies to pay more attention to risk or use risk in their day-to-day decision-making. He believes, as we talked about earlier, that even though Congress got involved to get OMB to create Circular A-123 and A-11, that those that address risk management, agencies on their own are already starting to make this recognition that they need to do more with risk, and OMB can kind of help guide them versus legislation that will be more of a hammer.
Jason, you hear a lot of agency executives talk about risk management, especially in the way they deploy their cybersecurity programs and so forth. How much do agencies, in fact, pay attention to risk today? Do we know?
I think to some extent every agency is managing risk. I think that's it's a must-have nowadays. How successful are they, or how much that information impacts their decisions? That's harder to say. I think that you have some agencies like the Bureau of Fiscal Service within the Treasury Department that actually has an office, an enterprise risk management office. Other agencies, as you talked about, Tom, really manage risk at certain CXO levels. CIO looks at cyber risk. CFOs look at financial risk. Chief acquisition officers manage acquisition risks. But few that I'm seeing, and few that, you know, that we're seeing through surveys and such, manage risk across all functional areas, which is what I think OMB really is getting to. The Association of Government Accountants and Grant Thornton issued their 19th annual federal CFO survey earlier this week, and they said one of the questions they asked was about risk management, and the respondents said, well, as for having a CRO, a chief risk officer, 71% said their agency does not have a CRO. 20% said they do, so obviously it's not a foreign concept to many agencies. 8% said other, which was not defined what that meant. If you either do or don't have it, you have something else. Now, we do have a link to that AGA Grant Thornton survey on federalnewsradio.com. Jim Taylor is the managing director for Grant Thornton's global public sector. He says agencies distribute risk across the organization differently, but having a structured way to identify, measure, and mitigate that risk, it actually is coming to the forefront. But Mader says he has some concerns about having one CRO.
I think in any organization, sometimes when you say, okay, this person is the risk officer, the other leaders and managers in the organization, well, that's really his problem to worry about. And I'll give you my prior to coming back into government in a company that, which is publicly traded, that Ann and I worked at, in the business unit that Ann and I oversaw on a monthly basis, I had to certify under Sarbanes-Oxley all sorts of risk. In fact, we didn't have a risk officer, because it was the partners who were overseeing the business units who had to basically certify on a monthly basis that we had identified and mitigated risk.
Now, Mader spent most of his career, or a big chunk of his career, working at Booz Allen Hamilton, so that's what the publicly traded company he's talking about. Now, this approach to risk management that Mader kind of is describing seems very similar to what agencies wanted, or the administration wanted, around privacy. Tom, if you remember, the Bush administration pushed back against having a single chief privacy officer, or CPO, across all of government, and wanted instead to let agencies decide how best to implement it. You have certain agencies like DHS or Justice that end up having a CPO, but you have other agencies who add that to maybe the CIO's mission or the assistant secretary's mission.
Well, that's right. I think the degree to which privacy is important to agencies and to people that interact them varies a great deal. You know, clearly TSA, you know, which may have information on millions of people, has a different privacy concern than some agency that never deals directly with the public. And we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, you mentioned that AGA CFO survey. What are some of the other top priorities or concerns that came up in this year's version?
Well, I think CFOs said data analytics and transparency are there two other issues that are very high on their list. And obviously, I think that both are related. The survey found 79% of the respondents say they're improving financial information so that the data can be used to make management decisions. I think that's a combination of both data analytics and transparency there. Again, Jim Taylor from Grant Thornton says CFOs now need to make sure they give program managers the data they can understand and that is useful to make those decisions.
Now we have very robust systems, we have processes in place, we are focusing our staff more on the analytics side and being able to use the data so that program managers can compare one field office with another in terms of how efficient they are and how effective they are in their products. At the Department of Labor, I was very impressed with the Deputy Secretary when I went there, Seth Harris, who actually had a very, very aggressive management agenda. Never thought I would have seen that there. Very aggressive management agenda. And he kept challenging me to provide information for him on how do I use that next dollar? What's my best use? Give me the data that I can get to that kind of a decision analysis. But I think it's a systems issue. It's where we started. It's also, I think, a maturity issue in terms of the model of the CFO's office.
Now, Taylor retired from the government earlier this year after about 30 years of service, including 3 years as the Labor Department's CFO. Now, the other issue that garnered a lot of attention in the survey is shared services. OMB obviously is pushing shared services and agencies toward financial management, shared service providers. The survey found that the biggest concern among CFOs is 66.7% say they need more assurances that the quality of service from these shared service providers will remain the same going forward. 33.3% say the loss of control, and the same amount, 33.3%, said the cost control or predictability also are among their top concerns. Now, Taylor says CFOs are more accepting of the need to move to a shared service provider, and he believes it's now much more doable than it was 5 or 7 years ago. Because in one thing that he points out in the survey, 24% of these CFOs say their biggest concern is whether or not the federal provider could scale and modernize to meet their needs. And 29% say they're only worried if the provider is not able to meet their requirements more generally. So that's a lot lower numbers than some of these other concerns. While those numbers say look like CFOs are more comfortable with the idea of shared service providers, there's still a major concern that OMB needs to tackle. And I actually asked David Mader about his plans to address the 1932 law called the Economy Act. Now, this forbids agencies from charging other agencies for services above and beyond the cost of that service. So, Tom, if it costs you a dollar, I can't charge you a dollar 10. I can only charge you a dollar. Now, unless this is the big deal, unless you have a franchise fund or a working capital fund, unfortunately, the four shared service providers, none of them have one at this time.
We are creating a very different business model for the government, something that heretofore we haven't operated under. And that topic is on our agenda to address over the next year. We need to explore fully matured shared service provider. What do they need to be successful? And I think it's going to require examining, you know, whether it's the working capital fund, a franchise fund, or maybe some brand new fund that's created to support this.
Now, what that new fund will look like and how it will be very interesting, because right now shared service providers cannot easily take on new customers until they have a signed agreement, and then they can start ramping up and getting new software, getting new hardware, getting new staff. So until they get that signed contract, they really can't do some pre-hiring like most companies can when they know that they're going to have a busy season. The other big issue that came up in the survey, Tom, just real quick, is workforce. CFOs say that their workloads are increasing, but they're losing long-time and highly skilled employees, and they are having trouble to train current employees, and that remains a big concern. Again, we have a link to that AGA Grant Thornton survey on federalnewsradio.com.
And Jason, I wanted to ask you, that survey concentrates on the CFOs. It asks the CFOs, and certainly at some level, every risk is financial. There are direct financial risks, such as embezzlement or some kind of a leakage of funds from the agency that aren't anticipated, purely financial risks. But there are also risks that affect finances but aren't financial risks. And I wonder if people are thinking about that. For example, CDC, you know, is deploying SWAT teams all of a sudden, they say, for everyone that gets Ebola. Well, there's only two people that have it right now in the United States. What if 1,000 cases broke out and they don't have enough people for 1,000 SWAT teams to swarm around everybody? I'm just making this one up. But does that type of risk management somehow play into this thing that the CFOs are looking at?
Well, I think this is why OMB is actually wants to take that broader look, because the financial risks have shown success. Can we measure, can we manage those risks? And agencies have shown that they can. But what about other risks? And I think what you're referring to is more of a programmatic or a mission-related risk.
Yeah, or operational risks.
So that's why I think OMB is saying maybe we need some enterprise risk protocols across the government that everyone can do, not just financial management. And I think you're going to see some again, maybe a memo, maybe guidance, maybe some sort of document that's going to come from OMB in, you know, early winter that's going to say here's how agencies should proceed by putting together a risk management structure.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep following that one. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that report.
Always a pleasure.